Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. You may remember several years ago, 1999, a movie came out entitled The Green Mile, starred one of my favorite actors, Tom Hanks, and he played a prison officer named Paul Edgecombe. And there was a prisoner who was falsely accused, who was on death row and put in that prison, by the name of John Coffey, played by the late Michael Clark Duncan, very large, imposing man, but he played that role very, very well. It's a fascinating movie, but there's a scene in that movie where John Coffey is talking to the prison guard, and a lot has transpired up until this point, but there's a powerful, moving scene where, with tears in the eyes of this large, imposing man, he looks at the prison official and he says these words. He says, "I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road. Lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having me a buddy to be with, to tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world. Every day there's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time." You remember that scene? It's a powerful scene. And that came to my mind this week as I've been thinking about how tired we are. This year has been a cumbersome year for us, for our community, for our country, for our world. We are just tired. And there's various reasons for that. It started with the whole COVID issue, and whatever your views are on that, we're tired. We're tired. We're tired of wearing masks, and we're tired of hearing of people who have died, and we're tired of hearing the issue being politicized, and it's cumbersome. And then our community has dealt with these fires. Everyone I've talked to who's lived in Oregon at least as long as I have, if not longer, has said this is the worst that they've ever seen it, ever, here in our part of the country. We've lived in our home for 18 and a half years, and we've never been placed on a evacuation notice until last week. And to see that smoke coming up over the hills behind us, hearing of the wildfires, I've got to be honest with you, as many of us were in that level one evacuation zone, we were a little bit nervous. I'm sure you were as well. That wears on you, the emotional toll that it takes on you. And being in a very divisive election year, it's tiring. The rhetoric, what we're hearing from this person and this group and that group, after a while, it becomes too cumbersome. But we don't want it to wear on us because we want to be good Americans. We want to be informed. We want to make the right decision. And we want to be engaged as productive citizens. And yet, this constant being bombarded with all the political rhetoric is wearing on us. And then the rioting that took place and is still taking place, that breaks our heart. I still remember the last weekend of May watching the rioting here in Eugene, something again, I've talked to people who've lived in this area longer than I have, and they've said they've never seen anything like this in Eugene before. And the destruction and the looting and the setting of fires intentionally. It's tiring. It's heartbreaking. We're just on edge. And I think it's okay to admit that. I mean, we want to be strong and we want to be self-sufficient, but there comes a point where we have to admit this is wearing on us on so many different levels. Put all that other stuff aside. Maybe you're personally just being tired of being neglected and maybe feeling like nobody cares, or you're just tired of being misunderstood, or you're tired of being abused, whether it be, you know, physically or mentally or whatever. Maybe personally you're just tired of the situation that you're in, and there seems to be no end in sight. I think it's okay to admit that we are at this point of just reaching this point of being exhausted of all the different things that we're dealing with and that you may be dealing with personally. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. I'm not an expert on world religions, but I've studied them enough to realize that when you read all the various texts of world religions, I can't think of one other religious book than the Holy Bible that is so emphatic about God's desire to strengthen His people when they are tired and when they are weak and when they are worn out. I implore you, read other religious literature, and you won't find language as strong and as forceful and as beautiful as the Holy Scriptures, where repeatedly it is the God of the Bible who wants to strengthen people when they are at their weakest and lowest point. And this is what I want to talk to you about today in a message that I've entitled, He Strengthens the Weary. Turn to Isaiah 40. We'll start at verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. These are verses that, if you've been in the church a long time, are familiar to you, but I think take on a whole new light, especially with what we're dealing with and have been dealing with. Isaiah 40, the great chapter of comfort for God's people, beginning at verse 28. And again, not only in this scripture, but I'm going to give you other scriptures as well. Listen to just how emphatic God is about His desire to strengthen you, to empower you, to lift you up, even in our lowest, weakest moment. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. We will, and we do, and we are. But He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the government? No. Those who hope in their friends? Those who hope in technology? we could do this all day. The Bible says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength or have their strength renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen? Now, this isn't just a word to individual people. It is, but it's not just limited to that. The nation of Israel was tired and weary. If you go to the very beginning of Isaiah chapter 40, this really is a message to the entire nation. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God's people had been through a rough time, difficult time. Their own sin brought upon them a weariness, a heaviness. And yet God was faithful to his people as a whole. Nations go through difficult times, whether it be the nation of Israel or the country of the United States or Libya or whatever nation. People groups as a whole go through difficult times, and God promises to be with these various people groups. So as we see here in the case of Israel and Jerusalem, morally they were tired. Morally they drifted. And yet God's faithfulness had been with them, and he provided a way for them to be saved. When nations are weak militarily, you look through the scriptures, and there are many, many wars that God's people should have lost time and time again. And we see miracle after miracle after miracle in the scriptures how militarily, when God's people were weak and should have been defeated, God came alongside them and strengthened them and gave them victory. Politically, nations go through times of weakness. If you have a corrupt leader or corrupt leaders, nations go through difficult times. And we see this again, time and time again, in the history of God's people. There were times when they had very corrupt leaders who did not lead the nation in the way they should go. And yet, God is faithful. He sends prophets to speak truth to injustice. He raises up godly people, the most unlikely people, to help lead the nation back to where they needed to go. Economically, nations struggled. There were times in the history of God's people where economically they had nothing. And yet God is good and he's faithful and he came alongside and he strengthened them economically. And so God is speaking here to his people. He's saying, you've been through a rough time. And yet, who was it that delivered you and continues to deliver you time and time and time again? But also God is speaking here to us personally. When you are weak personally, when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like nobody cares, when you're just tired of getting beat up, you're tired of trying to process all this information that's being, you know, overloaded upon you, God promises to be there for you and to strengthen you and to empower you. That is his promise to you. There's another reason why we get so tired. It's because when you are empathetic with other people who are going through difficult times, that weighs heavy on you as well. It's called compassion. And compassionate people get tired because their heart goes out to those who are hurting. I really appreciated our prayer time Wednesday night. I really did. I appreciated every single prayer that was prayed. But I really appreciated, Gerald, your prayer. Gerald's prayer went something like this. He said, Lord, our hearts are heavy on behalf of those who are hurting. And then he went on and prayed for those who are hurting. But That, my friends, is spiritual maturity. When we can gather together and not just focus on our aches and pains, but Gerald, your prayer really touched me. Because we cried out on behalf of those who had lost everything in those fires and those who are still struggling. And that wears on you. That brings exhaustion upon you. When you are truly an empathetic person and you care more about the needs of others, that wears on you. And there's a heaviness there. When we intercede on behalf of those who are truly hurting and suffering. The Bible never says that we will not get tired. I mean, some of the greatest men and women of God in scriptures got tired. Jesus got tired. Especially when, as he began his ministry, he was led out into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says that as Jesus had that incredible face-to-face battle with evil, at the very end, he was so tired that angels had to come and attend to him. So the Bible doesn't promise that we will never get tired, but God does promise to sustain us and empower us and strengthen, especially as we keep our eyes and our mission and our focus on him. If you turn to Galatians 6:9. And this is a verse that I've always gone to, but perhaps even more so this year than most because of all that we're dealing with. Galatians 6:9. These are the words of the Apostle Paul there to a church that was seeking to be faithful to the mission that God had given them. And he says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good." Listen, when you're serving God, and you're praying and you're interceding and you're serving others like Brad and Tina did this last week, helping those who have been hurting. When you do good, you get tired. I mean, physically, yes, it's draining. But as we are serving God, the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So as you go about praying and serving the Lord and interceding and doing good deeds, God has promised to be faithful and to be with you as you're serving him, and you will see the fruit of your labors as you serve God. And so, yes, we're going to get tired, especially as we serve the Lord. But this is where self-care is very important. We must take care of ourselves. I'm glad you're here in church today. Sunday is to be a day of rest, a day of rejuvenation in the Lord. Get enough sleep at night. Don't stay up too late watching that movie that you just have to watch. Take care of yourself. Take a sabbatical. Sabbatical is a short break away from your normal routine and get rejuvenized and refocused on the Lord. I've been fortunate enough. I've been pastor here for 18 and a half years. I've had 2 13-week sabbaticals. And if God wills, in a few years, I'll take a third 13-week sabbatical. That's the only way I can make it as a minister of the gospel. You have to get away. You have to spend time alone with God, and you must get rejuvenated so that we do not become weary in doing good. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. This is your assignment for today. I want you to study Daniel chapter 10 closely. Now, when I say the word Daniel, our minds go to Daniel in the lion's den. It's a great story. I get it. But there's a fascinating account here in chapter 10 that I believe will speak to every single one of us. The very beginning of the chapter, of chapter 10, Daniel gets this revelation. He gets this vision from God. And it's a pretty powerful vision. And he mourned. He cried. It was so overwhelming. It was so powerful. It was concerning a great war. And for 3 weeks, he basically fasted. He didn't have meat or wine. I mean, it took a toll on him when he received this revelation from God. And then in verse 5, he had another vision there of a man who was before him dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. And his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I believe it was a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus. Daniel was the only one who saw this vision. If you look at verse 8, it says, "So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless." And then if you go to verse 10, we read this, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and my knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." He says some other things to Daniel. Go down to verse 16 of Daniel chapter 10. "Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and I began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.'" That was us last week, right? "My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Now look at verse 18 of Daniel chapter 10. "Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." Now, if that doesn't sound like the words of Jesus, I don't know what does. "When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" Why do we need worship like we're doing today? Why do we need times alone with the Lord? Because when we are at our weakest, when we have no strength, when we are exhausted, we encounter this one who says to us, "Peace, be strong." And he gives us divine strength. I want to give you just a few more Bible verses for you to meditate on. Because again, I'm unaware of any religious text in any religious system, unlike our Bible, that promises to give us strength when we need it most. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a what? A strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Nehemiah 8:10. "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength." Amen. Exodus 15:2. "The Lord is my strength and my song," or my shield. 1 Chronicles 16:11. "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." Of course, we remember the words of Jesus when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you exhausted?" What does Jesus say? "Come to me." I believe it's the same man here in Daniel chapter 10. "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And what happens when you're rested in the Lord? You're rejuvenated and you have strength. Karen read earlier 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Thank you, Karen. I think it's worth reading again. Because the Apostle Paul discovered and experienced this for himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in hardships, in insults, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, that's when Christ in me gives me strength. When I am weak, then I am strong. Several years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote an amazing song. And I want to read the lyrics to you as we close up today. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when ours is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us, when ours comes to an end, he hears our humble cry and proves again that his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.